situations that tug of war at me. All day long I struggled for the answers that I need, but then I come into His presence and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, and hearts unbended in the presence of the King. Through His love the Lord provideth a place for us all to rest, place to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there. Troubles vanish and hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
You sing it with me. He's Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish and hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Praise be to God. You know that second verse, through His love the Lord provided a place for us to rest. There's never any reason for you to give up in despair, to slip away and breathe His name in prayer. How many times do we When we're feeling maybe a little down or discouraged, we'll slip away and shop. Or we'll slip away and entertain ourselves with something. But if we'd learn, saints, to slip away and breathe His name in prayer, that's where our strength comes from. Amen. Let's all stand as Brother John prepares to come. I worship You, Almighty God. It's a privilege to worship You, saints. Amen. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. And I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want.
Father, we want to thank You for Your love and Your grace, Your mercy, Lord. That's why we've come tonight, to worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord, because we know there's no other answer in life. There's no other hope beyond this life than You, Lord. Father, we come tonight to love You, to worship You, to just let You know, Lord, that we're a needy people. We've come tonight with our cups up. We've come tonight with our hearts open, Lord. And we're just saying, Lord, please meet every need that's in this building tonight, God. Because, Lord, we wouldn't know what to do if it wasn't that You would come and meet those needs. Father, we thank You for the hope of the believer. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and all Your blessings. And now, Lord, we just pray as we break bread together this evening, Lord, that You'll come and speak from the pages of the book to our hearts tonight, Lord, and may we learn something, Father, that will be of eternal value, that when we go away, we can say truly it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. For we know, Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know, Lord, that with You standing by our side, Lord, and taking our hand and leading us through, Lord, we can't lose when we follow that direction. Bless us now, we pray, Lord. We commit it, this service and the remainder of it, into Your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. I'd like to read tonight from the book of St. Mark, chapter 23. We'll just begin reading there in just a moment. But I was thinking today, in light of all that's happened in our nation here in Virginia the last few days, and then my mind went to all the believers who have gone on to be with the Lord, and especially just seems like in the last couple, two, 3 months here, we've just lost tremendous saints that I've known personally, and friends, and things of that nature. Back last year with Brother Danny Funk, and starting there, it seems like there's just numerous ones that have gone on to be with the Lord. And we were talking today, my wife and I, and we're thinking of that scriptures and talking about it, where the Lord talks about the rapture and the catching away, and how Our pastor spoke here not long ago on how that a believer doesn't die. He just goes to sleep. And he said, you know, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and it goes through all the things, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And it comes down to, the rapture, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And then it said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we were talking today, Sister Loretta and I, about how comforting it is to know that God has a plan for our life. And to know that we're not just left to whatever might come along, but God has a purpose and He has a plan, and that all is well when our lives are hid with God in Christ. And I certainly am thankful tonight for the believer's hope. And just somehow I want to read from Mark chapter 3 as we begin this. That didn't really have anything to do with what I'm going to be on tonight, but I it becomes more and more of a desire, I guess, of the believer, and more of a heartthrob to see that rapture come. And the scripture says that they'll be praying, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it seems like the further we go in this life and the worse it gets, because the prophet said that this world will go totally insane. And it seems like the further along we go, the more the hope of the believer lies outside of this world rather than in this world. And the more we want to draw. But one thing we know for sure, we've got to be ready to go. And sometimes that's not an easy task in our lives. So I'd like to just begin reading here at the 23rd verse of St. Mark chapter 11. It said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he has said shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. May God add His blessings tonight to the reading of His Word. Why don't you greet one another before you're seated tonight? Just shake hands and welcome each other to the house of the Lord, and then you may be seated. Certainly are thankful for the privilege to be here tonight. I was telling Brother Lonnie when I came in, actually I spoke to Sherry on the way down. She rode down with me tonight, and I was telling her, I said, I hope I'm supposed to be here tonight. I remember talking with Jeff about coming on a weekend, and we couldn't work that out, so I thought we settled on Wednesday night, and I wasn't sure really till I got here and asked Sister Barb in the back, and she said, well, I think so, and then Brother Lonnie back here said, yeah, so I'm supposed to be here, so don't act like you're surprised. I am supposed to be here tonight, and by the grace of God, I'm here tonight, so we're certainly glad that I know where I'm supposed to be, and I'm finally there, but we certainly are happy to be here tonight, and I want to say I appreciate all of your prayers for our condition in our body. Brother Steve Johnson also, I know that he appreciates you praying for him, and you've heard the good report of him, how the cancer is leaving his body and is going bye-bye, and that's going back where it came from. And it certainly didn't come from the Lord. So we're thankful for that. And Brother Steve is doing well. He's as busy as I am, I guess. He's out just about every weekend preaching somewhere. But by the grace of God, he's doing well. And I am too. I went to the doctor here about a month ago or a little more to have a CAT scan and a body scan again to make sure this prostate cancer hadn't spread. And by the grace of God, it hadn't spread at all in 2 years. It's still contained, and I'm glad for that. And we thank the Lord, and I appreciate it. I believe some of the health food products that we've been taking the last couple of years has kept it in check. And so just pray for us. I'm going to see a radiologist here at the end of this month, and we'll make some decisions then whether or not we want to let them do the wonderful treatment that they do. And I believe the Lord's a healer. I believe that He has already healed me according to the Word of God. Do you believe that? But you know, Brother Branham did say, sometimes He heals through doctors, sometimes He heals through, uses medicine. So, I've been a stickler. The last 2 years since they diagnosed it, I really wanted to see a miracle so that I could go back to that doctor that told me he didn't know of anything else but the natural medicine that they have. And I really wanted, I really wanted to walk back in that office and say, Doc, I found something better. I got a second opinion. And I found something a little better, you know. But I guess I'm stubborn in some ways, because I wasn't born in a hospital. I never spent a night in the hospital because of my sickness or any diseases. And I'm just not real easy to want to go do it now, you know. And I hope I don't even have to do it now. I'm supposed to have 5 weeks of treatments, 5 days a week, outpatient. So maybe I'll just go in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out and won't spend the night. And I'll still have my testimony, see. But I guess I'm just hard-headed that way. But you pray that God will just have His way, because it's too late, you know, of an hour to worry about these things. And I just want it off my mind so I can just go on and do what I feel the Lord has called us to do. And that is to be the best that we can be for His kingdom and to do what we can do. I'd like to speak tonight, if you don't mind, draw my thought from this 25th verse of St. Mark 11, where it says, "And when you stand praying, forgive." And I'd like to title this tonight, The Power of Forgiveness. And I want to speak on this subject. I guess tonight there was another subject on my mind all along, since Brother Jeff called me back a couple of weeks ago, that I had on my heart. And I thought sure I was going to be able to speak it. And that was on the ministry after the prophet's ministry. And of course, that's our ministry. And that was something I thought, well, I'm comfortable with that. That's what I'm going to speak on. And then today, as I got praying and putting my mind, I guess, on really what the mind of the Lord was, He just seemed to direct me this direction for this evening. And so we want to be obedient to His leadership and just speak it from our heart. So this won't be a lengthy, no surprises here or nothing like that. But I just want to speak on this subject of forgiveness, because I believe it's so important to us. Maybe more than just forgiving, but like I said, the power that comes with forgiveness. And how that to forgive someone is to release that person as well as ourselves from anything that might be hindering us, any ill feelings or bad feelings that we may have, or grudges or hatred or malice that's in our heart toward anyone. If we can learn to forgive and to let that go. And as I look at this word in the Greek tonight, as we begin to look at it a little bit, it actually means, one of the definitions here means to let go. To let go. And I guess one of the reasons the Lord spoke my heart here some time ago with this thought, I have known people who don't have the ability to forgive. I've known people in this message who have gone on year after year after year holding things inside of them against other people. I've had people tell me, well, you know, I don't want to talk to that person, or I don't like that person. Or I've even known the cases where they've told me, well, you know, we saw so-and-so coming down the street and we got over on the other side and passed by. I've known cases where you'd see people at the First Church or Walmart and all of a sudden, you know, you'd go down a different aisle because you didn't want to face them. Didn't want to say hello. Didn't want to shake their hand. And you know, saints, there's something wrong inside when we're like that. Something's not right with our forgiving spirit. And so perhaps that is why that I felt led to go this way some time ago, and even today as I was praying, maybe in light of all that's happened in our nation, because it's going to be horrendous, the things that people are going to hold inside of them from what has happened, the tragedy that has taken place. And maybe even people not involved with it, even people like ourselves that are just onlookers and just hearing the news and all that's going on, it does something inside of everybody just about. Because the first thing you want to do is blame somebody. Whether it be God or the administration or the police department or whatever, there's something in human beings that want to find a target and want to find somebody that they can blame and say, it's your fault. And unless we learn that we've got to let things go in our hearts and in our lives, then I think we're going to find out that it's going to hinder our prayers. Because He's talking here in this text, He's talking about a power to ask whatever we want.
He's talking here in this verse of scripture about saying to the mountain, you that's there, you go over there and it'll happen. But then he ties it right in with when you do stand to pray, forgive. And if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's pretty heavy duty. So the definition goes on. It says to let go, to let alone, to disregard, to leave, not to discuss. But forgiving, not to discuss. You know how we say we've forgiven somebody, but we sure like to talk about what they did to us. To let go, to give up, like a debt, to forgive, to remit, to keep, to give up, to keep no longer. In other words, don't hold it inside of you. Because I want to tell you tonight, if you do that, it can destroy you. Mr. Webster defines the word forgive as to cease to blame or feel resentment about an offense or an offender. It means to cancel or to let off like a debt. Disregard means to pay no attention to it. Pretty hard to do when someone's done you wrong, isn't it? Remit means to pardon or forgive. So, you see, church, to forgive is to let go, to disregard, to pay no attention to free that person from it. And in so doing that, you are actually freeing yourself from grudges and ill feelings and releasing from your heart any bitterness that you may have. Forgiveness is just as important, or maybe far more important for us than it is for the person we're forgiving. Because I don't know about you, but life's too short and time's too short to have things inside of us that are eating at us and causing us to have wrong feelings. Especially when an angel told the prophet, nothing can come here but perfect love. I love Revelation. I love the Word. But it doesn't matter what you comprehend or understand. If you've got something wrong in your heart, you've got a problem. Now you might say, well, if that person would just ask me to forgive them, then I'd forgive them. I can't do it, Brother John, because he ain't asked me. Oh, if he'd ask, I'd do it. But you notice in our text, it didn't say, if they ask. It just simply said, when you stand praying, forgive. Got no choice. Just something you got to do. Now, it did say, if you have aught against anybody. Forgive if you have aught against somebody. And you might say to me tonight, ha ha, Brother John, that's where it's at. I don't have any aught. They got the aught. We're always looking for loopholes. Oh, don't sit there like you don't believe that. You've been in this message long enough to know we look for loopholes. Always looking for a way that we can get around that. And I wonder what an ought was. I just clicked on that word ought. This is funny because it just said, here's the definition of ought. Certain, some, anything, something, somewhat. So if you just got the littlest thing against somebody, you got an ought. Some of you got double ought. So you may say, well, I don't have any ought. They're the ones, Brother John. Okay, that's fine. Let's start our little study. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Let's just start our little thought here tonight. Did you put water up here? Is this my water here, Brother Paul? Is this mine in here? Huh? You didn't drink out of it, did you? Okay, just checking. My song leader in Arkansas used to drink my water. So I made him get his own cup. So then he had two glasses he felt like to drink from. No, I'm just kidding. Let's look at the other side now. Let's just say, okay, your heart's right. You feel like your heart's right. You don't have any ought against anybody. But let's just look at chapter 5:21, verse 21, Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it has been said of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, and I believe that definition there is you idiot. In our everyday terminology. I know we're not supposed to do that. Sometimes they are idiots, but we're not supposed to call them that. Don't say it. Okay? No, you get in trouble anyways. All right? And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. Now watch. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. Now here we are again. When you stand praying, we're coming to the altar. This is prayer time. When you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee. Uh-oh. You don't have it. He's got it. I said he had it, see? So what do? Verse 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Uh-oh. It's the same scenario. Don't pray until you've forgiven. Don't pray until everything's made right between you and your brother. Because the mountain ain't going nowhere, and you ain't getting what you asked for until you forgive. That's a big step. That's a big part of our prayer life. That ought to be a pattern of our prayer life, is forgiving. Because I think it will open doors that we will see God move like we've never seen Him move before. Just in our prayers. Amen. Just because our heart is right with God and we've made things right with God. So He says, therefore, He said, leave thy gift at the altar, verse 24. Go thy way and be reconciled to thy brother first, and then come and pick up thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly. So what it is it's getting everything right. The subject, you see, church, the subject is not who's the guilty party. The subject is not, he said or she said that's what they're doing or this one. That's not the subject. The subject here is us. It's you and me having our hearts right with God when we go to prayer. That's the subject. The subject is having our heart right with God so that He will answer our prayer and you will feel clean. And there'll be no guile on your part at all. If it will keep you from that hatred, and it'll keep you from sickness, it'll keep you from heartache. You know, the Bible said, Ephesians 4:29, I think is a wonderful scripture, and I just read it. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And the next verse says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise. When we speak things that we ought not to speak, in evil things and in corrupt things, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And I think this is one of the reasons, this subject is one of the reasons of forgiveness that you know, if you get to the place that you can do that real well, then you can say, like I've said for a number of years, by the grace of God, I have no enemies. I have no enemies. Now, I've got people that may think I'm their enemy, but I'm not. I have no enemies tonight because I choose. It's my choice not to have any of it. It's my choice not to hold anything inside of me. I made a decision some years ago that I'm not going to hold things. I'm not going to let somebody else take away my joy. And I just let things go. And, you know, people can hurt you pretty bad sometimes, you know. But I learned a lesson a long time ago, and that is to be able to let it go. He goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. Hello? Amen. Forgiving one another. That's our subject tonight. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that word forgive there means to do something pleasant or agreeable to someone. forgiving one another. Now, I'm not asking tonight or suggesting that we do something that God Himself doesn't do. I'm talking about the very nature of God. Who among us tonight wouldn't be worthy of death if He hadn't forgiven us? Even before we ask, by the way, because my Bible says He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before we ever sinned a sin, He forgave us. He made a way for us. Before we ever came and did the shenanigans that we've done, He forgave us. He's a good God, isn't He? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 78 tonight. This is more of a Wednesday night, I guess, than anything here. But I just, on my heart, want to talk about forgiveness. Because you may be sitting here tonight, someone in this auditorium. There may be more than one that has things in your heart against someone else. And you just kind of let it override and not really dealt with it and just went on. But it's there and it eats at you. And every time you see that person, it triggers it and it reminds you of it. And I'm here to say tonight, you need deliverance from that. You need to forgive that person from your heart, whether they ask you or don't ask you or ever ask you. You need to let it go for your sake. God's that way. Psalm 78 verse 35 said it like this, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. So here was a group of people that honored God. Oh, He was their rock and He was the high God. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth and they lied unto Him with their tongues. Oh, they told Him how good He was and how great He was and how much they loved Him, but they were lying. Because inside the inside, they had a problem. They had heart trouble and didn't realize it. Because you look at the next verse, verse 37 said, for their heart was not right with Him. They had heart trouble. That's where it starts. That's where it comes from. Inside. Their heart wasn't right with God. Their heart was not right with Him. Neither were they steadfast in His covenant. They didn't keep His word. They were liars and they were sinners. Now let's look at the nature of God. Verse 38, chapter 78. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities. They didn't ask Him. Actually, they didn't even recognize that they even had any iniquity. They had probably been around so long in the realm of religion that they just thought this was normal. That they could have these kind of feelings and act this way and be this way and tell God anything and then go live anyway. Like some message believers really have convinced themselves that they can do whatever they want to do and that it'll be all right. But there's a reckoning day coming. So God forgave them, verse 38, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, yea, many a time, turned He away, His anger away, and did not stir up His wrath. He chose not to hold them responsible. And here's why. Verse 39, for He remembered they were but flesh. A wind that passes away and cometh not again. Remember that this sticky nature that Brother Branham talked about was getting in their way. That they were yielding to this nature, to this man, this carnate man that's inside. They were yielding to this nature of the flesh. And God wasn't going to hold them responsible or judge them. Because it was just flesh talking. And I want you to remember this, church. When someone is upset or angry, they will say things that they really don't mean. Kind of like a child your child, when they look at you and say, I hate you. I hate you. You know they don't mean that. They've heard that at school, or they're upset and you've corrected them and they don't like what you've done, and that flesh just raises up to, I hate you. Now, how many years would we be spending in the penitentiary if we reacted to that? We'd like to get our holy hands around their unholy neck and just squeeze. As parents, you can't fall apart when your kid says something dumb. As parents, you can't let them know that it cuts you to the bone. When you have one of them look at you one day and say, that's your God and that's your religion and that's what you believe. And I said, yeah, it is. And I said, you're going to have to find out one day what you believe and who your God is. But until then, as long as you're living with me, you're welcome to accept mine. And then I went off in the corner and cried. But not in front of him. Now, you should never let statements said in anger upset you. Nor should you hold someone responsible for them when they are upset or mad. You've got to realize it's just flesh talk. Now, I'm not saying give a license. I'm not giving a license for sin or for doing things wrong. We should still repent when we say stupid things and do stupid things. I think repentance is one of the greatest words there is in the Christian vocabulary. And I think we should still make things right when we've done something wrong. But I'm just saying that we need to have a little grace somewhere for somebody. Especially when flesh is talking. And you know what I'm talking about. No matter how religious we are, how holy we are, how much of a believer we are, there's times that this raises up and speaks through your vocal cords. And you wish you could reach out and go, push it back in. But it's too late. Because it's gone. But just remember where it came from. Repent. Psalms 103, verses 1 to 3. You want to write that down? You can. Said a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth thee all thine iniquities. How many of them? All thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Now that's a pretty powerful statement. I looked up that word, forgive there, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And it's a different meaning of that word. It means He pardons. He pardons you. Mr. Webster said pardon means the forgiveness of an offense or a discourtesy, a release from the penalty or an offense. Sometimes people offend us. If you've been around very long and the Christian ranks, then you've got a few scars, I'm sure. People can be cruel. People can hurt you. I remember particular incidents sometimes that has happened in my life that just makes you laugh now. But I remember one time we're in a communion service and our pastor had instructed us to kind of go around and make things right before we took communion. And this one precious brother walked up to me and he said, Brother John said, I want you to forgive me. Brother and I never had any problems. I hardly ever saw him. I said, forgive you for what, brother? He said, because I hate your guts. I said, why do you hate my guts? He says, because you're fat. Now I'm going back 34 years ago. Give me a break. I'm fat now. I wasn't fat then. Said, you're fat. He said, I got an uncle that's fat and I hate him too. Now, I don't remember if he took communion that night, but I know his uncle wasn't there, so he might have had a problem with that one. I had a brother tell me one time, his favorite saying to me was, trust me, Brother John, trust me, Brother John, trust me, Brother John. So I took him into some confidence and trusted him, and he turned just about everybody he could against me just because of what I told him. Took it and twisted it and took it out and said something, things that I never said. People can hurt you. And like I said, if you've been around very long, you've probably been hurt a few times. But I remember Brother Perry Green telling the story. I've always loved the story and I always loved what it represented to my heart anyways. He was talking about being with Brother Branham and they were riding. I think it was up on the Alaskan highway. They were going on a journey together. And Brother Branham had been sharing with Brother Green some of the things that people had said about him and some of the things that people had done against him. And in the course of their conversations, he had mentioned some names and some people, just he and Brother Green riding together. And then all of a sudden, Brother Branham said, oh, Brother Perry said, turn down this road up here, this one up here. Brother so-and-so lives right down this road. Let's go see him. And Brother Green said, well, Brother Branham said, it wasn't just a few minutes ago you were talking about that brother. And you said he said such and such and done such and such. And Brother Branham looked at Brother Green. He looked at me and said, oh, what's that got to do with it, Brother Perry? He said, he's our brother. Let's go fellowship. Said Brother Green, said, I just looked over at him and said, Brother Branham, you need to pray for me because I don't have it yet. But that's the way we got to be. We've got to learn to let things go and not hold them inside of us. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And when I was going to preach on this a few months ago, I called Brother Lonnie and I wanted to talk with him a little bit about what the coronation between medical science and diseases and sicknesses, because I know there's such a vast thing going on as far as them doing research on these things, and we know there's more and more doctors and medical professions that are relating sickness and different diseases and things from people holding things inside of them and holding grudges and things of that nature that they have and is causing them to be sick, physically sick. And he gave me a title of a book called None of These Diseases by Dr. McMillan, wherein the doctor, I guess, explained that through hundreds of patients that he had observed after he had counseled with them and spoke with them, and he realized that much of the sicknesses were psychosomatic, and that our body sometimes can affect our mind, and our mind, our thinking can definitely affect our body. I mean, it has a tremendous parallel to it. And if you're ill long enough, if you're sick long enough, then definitely your mental attitude toward life will change. You'll end up getting depressed. You'll end up getting what we call down and the downers and things of that nature. And since we were made in the image of God, then in His nature is to be forgiving and to be loving. Then if we live in that atmosphere, of love and forgiveness that God has, then it'll take care of everything around. But if we fall in that other atmosphere and we begin to let things bother us, then things will begin to happen to our bodies. Mental illness, people that are mentally ill, many times their bodies will twist and distort, and they'll get expressions on their face from the stress of just mental illness. And it's true with a lot of things. And one of the things that he concluded with, Brother Lonnie said, he said it never failed that when he saw a person crippled with arthritis, that after a period of questions, he would find some area of lack of forgiveness towards some person or some happening. And the more bitter the lack of forgiveness, the more devastated became the body by arthritis. So it does link. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to feel good. Yeah. Amen. I want to enjoy life. Amen. however much of it I got left. I've had a good life. If I should die today, tonight, or tomorrow, I've had a good life. I don't regret it.
Amen.
I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
But I also realize that I don't really desire to check out tonight or tomorrow. That I think there's a few more things that I would like to accomplish and a few more things that I'd like to do in life. And I'd like to do it in such a manner that I don't have any enemies, that I'm friends with everybody. I'm a nice guy. I'm a friendly guy. I'm a personal guy. I'm a good looking guy. And I just, you know, I don't need any enemies. I need all the friends I can get. But we need each other. And we have friends here in this church, Sister Loretta and I, and I think it was 1978 when we met Brother Lonnie and Brother Jeff out in Tucson, and we went back out there in 1979. We moved out there for a few months, and that's when Sherry, our little redhead caboose, was born out in Tucson, Arizona in 1979. And we met them. We met several friends out there. And even back before then, when we lived here in Lima, some of you were our friends then and still are. And that's amazing that we can remain friends through the years. Hadn't been together a lot, maybe that's why we're good friends. But we're still friends, and that's what's important. We need each other. We need to love each other. We need to help each other. We need to forgive each other. Life's too short to hold these things inside of us, church. It's just too short to let everything in the world bother us and to have hard feelings toward people. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. I want to talk about my buddy Peter here just a little bit. Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. If, as you know, I often refer to Peter as open mouth, insert foot Peter. And I like Peter because you didn't have to worry about what he was thinking. He was very transparent. He was very open about it. He let you know immediately. And here he is again. He's just really trying to nail this down so that he can solve this situation that might arise in his life. And he's talking here in Matthew chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 21. Matthew 18, we'll begin reading at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Notice it didn't say if he asked me either. So here's Peter. He's thinking now. This joker has hurt me six times. Maybe seven's my magic number. How many times, Lord, before I can give him what he deserves? Peter was looking for a number. I mean, I don't know if you've ever gotten that far down to where you're looking for a number. How often, Lord, do I have to let this go on? But he was looking for a number. He wanted a number. He was into numerology. Till seven times? How many times, Lord, do I have to take this? And Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times." Not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He uncocked his arm. 490 times. What am I going to do, Lord? 490 times that someone would trespass against you, and you're supposed to forgive them. Are you close yet? You keeping score? Are you into numerology? Are you counting? No. What he's saying here in essence is you're always supposed to forgive them. And it doesn't even say if they ask, it doesn't say anywhere here. It just says you're supposed to forgive them. And then it goes into this parable. Immediately in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Then, here's a key verse, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, a much, much less price. And he laid hands upon him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But he would not, and he would not forgive. He would not let go. He would not release. He wanted his own vengeance acted out on this person. He would not. And then they went and told the master. Verse 32 said, his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest, shouldest thou not have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity upon thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now that word tormentors, it's defined here as one who inflicts truth by use of the rack, torturing. In this case, it would be a jailer, because he's the one that does the torturing. But another word for tormentors is demons. There'll come a time if you don't forgive. There'll come a time if you don't let it go. There'll come a time if you don't release it. The tormentors will come. The demon world will be opened up. And they can inflict some pretty awful things. And verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Or their offenses, or their faults, or their sins, or their misleadings, or whatever they might have in their life. You've got to let it go.
Amen.
You've got to have the right spirit. You've got to have the right heart.
That's it.
No matter how much you think you have a handle on things. Brother Branham in the Demonology series explains that the demons are tormentors that torment us. He said many times we can see a person maybe of insanity and yet they're still converted, a person filled with the Holy Ghost and yet be totally insane. And that's right, that has nothing to do with the soul realm, but you're tormented. Diseases and sickness, he said all diseases we have to find out that all diseases come from the devil. God is not the author of sickness. No sickness comes from God. God sometimes permits Satan to put sickness on you as a whip to bring you back to the house of God. Why? Because your spirit's hard. Your spirit's unforgiving. And so he just allows, sick 'em to sick 'em. And he does that because he loves us. But I got enough problems in this world without demons hanging around. Tormenting and afflicting and hurting and doing things of that nature. So you see, church, God can even use sickness as a whip to bring us back, like the jailer was doing here. Just like the prophet said, if a wrong spirit is there, the Holy Spirit will have to leave. And that's serious. Don't care how much Holy Ghost you think you got or how long you've been in this message. If the wrong spirit is there, the Holy Spirit will leave.
Amen.
Leaving you and me wide open for tormentors. In the church and its condition. And Jeff, he's speaking here and he said, I want you to notice the lamb was slain. I'm sorry, I want you to notice the lamb was a silent lamb. The Bible said he opened not his mouth.
God, help us be like the Lamb. And keep our big mouth shut. And quit talking. And quit running people down. And quit blasting away like we're somebody and they're nothing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That wasn't in my notes. He opened not his mouth like a sheep before his shears. He was dumb. He didn't open his mouth. He wasn't a fellow that wants his rights. No, sir. He was willing to forfeit his rights. He was a silent man. But today, oh my, how we want our differences. Oh my, I'll tell you, you just let somebody say something to me. I'll go over and I'll get them, boy. I'll take them apart. I'll tell that old hypocrite when I see her. You just wait till I see her. Bless God. Hallelujah. The dove just takes its flight and goes on away. That's right. The Holy Spirit's not with you anymore. Now you can argue with that all you want. But that's what a prophet said. As long as you feel that way, the Holy Spirit's not with you anymore. Just mark that down in your book. It'll never do it. The Holy Spirit just won't stay around where that kind of a spirit is. It's got to be a lamb spirit, a gentle spirit, or it won't stay with it. That's all there is to it. If it ain't gentle, meek, led by the Holy Spirit. Why, you say, well, I'll just dress any way I want to dress. That's my business. No, it ain't. It's God's business. Well, I'll take my family and the way, I'll care for my family the way I want to. And preacher, you ain't got no business telling me that. Yes, I do. You ought to take care of it God's way. God told you to take care of it. That's right. Stop all this nonsense. But we don't do it. You see what we do? We let down the bar. What happened? The Holy Spirit took its flight. When you started to acting that way, the Holy Spirit left. That's the reason when he comes back into the church, you just wonder, what's the matter now? It's not nothing that, see, you say, well, maybe I'll just get out here and I'll do this and that and the other. Guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. You've got to surrender yourself to God and let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen.
Church, we need to watch our attitudes.
We
need to watch the way we treat one another, because the way we treat each other is the way we treat God. When we have communion, we come and take the sacraments, the lessons that we learn from 1 Corinthians 11 in the text there. It said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 1 Corinthians 11:28-30. It said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, you're not realizing that that's my brother that I have that feeling toward, or that's my sister that I have that feeling toward. Even if it's your wife or your husband.
Amen.
They're still your brothers and sisters if they're in Christ. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So it ties in, church. It all ties together.
Amen.
Having an unforgiving spirit and holding grudges and things like that can cause a lot of problems in our life, from sickness and diseases to God not forgiving us and even leading us to an early grave. A premature grave because of these things that we're holding inside of us. Even when the Lord taught us how to pray, it included forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. Let's turn over to Matthew 6 just a moment. Are you getting anything out of this, church? Well, I am. It always helps me. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Verse 10, chapter 6, Matthew, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This should be a part of our prayer life every time we pray, church. Our forgiveness from God is based directly on our forgiveness of others.
And if we don't do it right, we don't get the results from our prayers. Verse 13 said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." I want to close with some quotes. Some things Brother Branham said about how we should be. God's provided way. 1960 out in Oregon. He said, "I see over here on my left some little children." You know the scripture speaks of little children leading them. And their hearts have not been pulled through all so much of this world until they're still young and tender. They love God and God loves them and He can talk to them. But we've seen so many disappointments and things, it's hard for our hearts. And many a times we pulled it through some old true story magazine or stuff of the world that should never have been there, and it's calloused it. God will take away every callous off from you. If you just let Him make you tender, sweet, kind-hearted, loving, forgiving one another. If you have faith, just believe. I'm just waiting a moment here. You visited us and we want to wash your feet. We want to give you our lives. We want to be real Christians. We want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Meek, gentle, loving one another, forgiving one another. God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. We want to be like Him. He was our example. Word became flesh. He said, is that the prayer of every man and woman, boy and girl in here tonight? God bless you, and may you keep you that way. Humble in your spirit. May He keep you that way. Humble in your spirit. Soft in your soul. Now that's really some words He's choosing here.
Yes,
humble in your spirit, soft in your soul. I like that. Forgiving others as Christ, for God's sake, forgive you. Be kind, generous, and welcome. Welcome. You know, not too many people today have a welcome spirit. We've got these walls up and these feelings up and these bridges up, and we've got our own life and we're closed in with us four and no more. And we need to have a welcome spirit so that people, when they come into our presence, they feel welcomed. They feel like they're among friends. They feel like they can talk to you. They feel like they've met somebody who really cares about them. Welcome spirit. Church in his condition, and I love this, he's preaching to his church, and this is back in 1956, but he's preaching, he's having an altar call. And I love this quote. He's just preached his sermon, now he's giving the altar call, and he said, "I'm waiting. Is this it? Just 15 in the church that really feels that you've been condemned?" He starts rebuking his congregation. "You've lived a peaceful, meek, gentle, quiet life. And now this is directed by the Holy Spirit that you're forgiving. You have no enemies. You're living a path above this condemnation of sinners. You don't live like heathens. You live different." Who knows their church better than a pastor? "You've lived all patterned different. The Holy Spirit settled on the throne of your heart, making you live peaceful and quiet and loving around all people. Your neighbors and all know, and all your associates know that you're gentle and meek and quiet and humble Christian." Brother Branham just really tighten it down. "The dove of God is with you. Are you sure? Think you didn't have discernment? Think he didn't know how many more hands needed to be up?" He said, "This is your last opportunity." All right? I love that quote. We're that way sometimes. We just don't want to make a fool out of ourselves, that we don't want to make a commitment, or we don't want somebody to see us. But inside we know we ought to be in the altar. Inside we know we ought to have our hand up. Inside we know that we need help. But the stinking pride of this flesh holds you back to you just... Because it don't like to come and bow itself. It doesn't like to admit it's wrong. Or it needs God at all. He goes on, can I read a few more? I got my watch fixed today. It's been broke for a month. And for the last month it said 3 minutes till 9. Now it says 5 minutes till 9, so I know it's working. Because I put a battery in it today. Or I didn't. The jeweler did. Because I said, I'm coming to preach in Lima. If I preach too long, I'll never get invited back. So. All that ain't the truth. All of you are going to be after Jeff to have me back now for sure. Because you feel sorry for me. Okay. He's speaking here in Hebrews chapter 6 series. He said, God bless you back there, sir. God bless you, sister, brother, someone else. God bless you, sir. Now, I've been in the church for years. God bless you, sir. God bless you here, brother. God bless you back there, little lady. And I will ask God to make me peaceful. I will ask God to make me peaceful. Are you real raging? Are you out of sorts? Now, I'm sure if I ask you that, then you no problem. You say, nah, I'm fine. But if I ask your wife, or your husband, or your children, it's like someone asked my wife one time, said, do you ever wake up grouchy? And she said, no, I just let him sleep. She did that to me at a marriage seminar. All right. Are you raging? Are you out of sorts? Do you doubt? Or do you toss about? Do you just wonder whether it's really right or not? When you come to Christ, do you come with full assurance, a full heart of love? Do you walk up to Him without any fear, saying, I know that He's my Father and there's no condemnation? You pass from death unto life. You know it, and you notice your life. You're loving and you're forgiving and you're gentle and you're peaceful and you're meek. All the fruit of the Spirit is accompanying your life day by day. And as soon as you do anything wrong, oh my, just as soon as it come to your mind, you've done wrong, quickly you make it right. Right then, don't wait another minute. Go right then and make it right. If you don't, well, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. You don't have the Spirit of Christ if you don't make it right right then. You might be a good woman. You might be a good man. You might be well thought of in the church. You might be well thought of in your neighborhood. But if you went on to that perfection, to that place where your whole trusting is in Christ. Have you went unto that place? God willing, more abundantly, didn't have to, but He was willing, and I'm glad that aren't you, that God was willing. And look, if His will was long-suffering, and what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. That's part of God. That's in you. Forbearing one another, forbearing one another, being merciful, forgiving, and ready to turn the other cheek. And then, in the paradox, he makes this statement. He said, now, he's talking to some people who have some family trees. Anybody in here got a family tree? It doesn't mean you're a monkey. Do you have a family tree? Sure, you got a family tree. We've all got family trees. And he's dealing with natures. And he says here, now, the genes of the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remain in the flesh. And that's been interbred out of this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him. Just from his mother's family. And they're not forgiving at all. They will not apologize. And that's where the boy stands. Now I said to the father, no matter how much you raise him up, he said, you look, out of your family, all of them's drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and forth like that. And look at your family. And to the mother, he said, well, they're just a bunch of people. They just sit there and they won't speak. They're very indifferent and so forth, irreverent to religion. But I said, it's not you. You're the only one out of all the sisters and brothers, and you are sweet and kind and forgiving. What does that? And it's your trees, part of your family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost. And the thing that made you so tender and sweet, it's not your people among you, it's Christ that lives inside of you. And I said to the boy, look at your family, practically all of them drunks and so forth, and now, you know, how moody they are and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not that way. You're kind and forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You are more what you are. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you. I said, now the same thing has happened to your son. We can't do this on our own. It takes the Holy Spirit in our life. If this was it, and we wouldn't have another day, we'd go home tonight and go to bed, and in the morning the trumpet would sound. If this was it, this was your last service, is there anything at all in your heart that you need to make right? If this is it, let's bow our heads. Musicians can come if they'd like. Maybe play softly, I need him. Oh, I need him. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to read the last quote from a message called Living, Dying, Buried, Raising, Coming. Brother Branham's speaking here and he says, I need love, Lord. I need your spirit in my heart to make me that kind of a person. Tender, kind, gentle, humble, forgiving. That's what I want. And Lord, I'm bowing my heart right now before you. For you to say, Lord, I want to say this. Change my life right now. I open up and I say, now, Lord, I'm nothing, but you change me. It's got to be you, Lord. My emotions had brought me to this altar. But now it takes your spirit to change me. Come and do it, Lord. Come place in me that glorious longing. That's what it is. And if you're here tonight, church, and you feel like there might be a little something there, why don't you get up and come down? Just kneel at this altar and make it right with God. Just making sure. Maybe there's things you've held in and just thought, well, nobody knows that. But they do know it. God knows it. The Holy Spirit knows it. And He's wooing you tonight. Just wooing you tonight and just saying, come. Just make it right. Through the years, through the months. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you.
Just set me apart. You are awesome. as we're seated at your table, feasting on your word, lives are being challenged, and our hearts are being stirred. As your Spirit has His way with us, we rejoice in what we've heard. Now we lift up our hands and say,
give Him time. Amen. Don't want to rush Him, saints. He's not bound to clocks. I know we are, This dimension of time, we're bound by it. But don't rush God tonight. Let Him have His way. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. Have Your Way. Key of G. Have Your Way. Have Your Way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have Your way. As we wait, service, Lord. We can truly say it's been good to have been in Your house. Father, I just would ask, Lord, that somehow as we leave this place, that we don't leave Your presence. But God, may You continue to stir our hearts on through the evening. Somehow, Father, I just don't feel like You're done. Father, I just pray that You'd cause us to be sensitive, Lord, to Your Spirit. Lord, set at liberty them that are bound tonight, Father. May You break every chain, break every fetter. Do what only You can do tonight, Lord Jesus. Look past the flesh. Look past our spirit. Probe down deep into our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. Show us where we're not like You. Father, maybe it's not an issue of forgiveness or non-forgiveness or bitterness or anything like that. Maybe it's something else tonight. Maybe it's lust. You're not limited to just the topic that the preacher preached on, Lord. You can do anything tonight, Father. Set Your people free, I pray. Deliver the bound. Oh, God, do a work, Father. Just do a work, Lord. We thank You for what You've done. Just continue to search our hearts tonight, Lord. God, we surrender to You. Any doors in our hearts that we've never opened to You, Lord, we open those doors. As You reveal them to us, Lord, we say with an open heart, come on in, have Your way. Root out carnality in our lives tonight, Father God. God, may we be willing to stay as long as it takes. God, we just want You to have Your way. God, we appreciate Brother John getting out of the way and allowing You to speak through him. We just appreciate it so much. But that you bless him. We thank you for the work you're doing in his body. We thank you for the life and the testimony that he's upheld. As long as I've known him, he's been a man of integrity. And I just appreciate it, Father. Appreciate what you've done in his life, in his family's life. Would you just bless him, Father? God, we surrender our hearts and our will to you, our ambitions to you tonight afresh. You know what each one has need of standing in front of you, Father. God, may we be prostrate in our spirits before you, Father God. We're broken in a contrite spirit. You cannot despise. God, we give it to you, give the service to you, give the words that have gone forth back to you, Lord Jesus, asking you to continue to use them in our life through the night, through the weeks. May we let it all go, Father. Oh, may we let it go. There's no grudge worth hanging on to. There's no bitterness worth gripping. Oh, Father, how we love you. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done. Oh, how we commit the service to you, Lord. Commit the night to you, Lord. Commit our lives to you, Father. Father God, how we love you. Set my spirit free, that I might worship thee. Set my spirit free, that I might praise thy name.
Dismiss as we sing it again.
Yes, He is.